The Black Hawks were long on their return flight. Finally, the chopper touched down and the doors were opened for the troopers to get out. Clark saw General Diggs there and went over to him. How bad? The Navy shot it down over Washington. What? General Moore told me. Some cruiser, Gettysburg, I think he said, shot the bastard down right over the middle of D.C. We got lucky, Mr. Clark. John's legs almost buckled at that news. For the past 5 hours, he'd been imagining a mushroom cloud with his name on it over some American city. But God, luck, or the great pumpkin had intervened. And he'd settle for that. Jack Ryan was about half in the bag by this time. The cabinet was back in town, but he'd put off the meeting until morning. It would take time to consider what had to be done. To think it had all begun with an Italian cardinal and a Baptist preacher, killed by some trigger-happy cop. Did the world really turn on so perverse an axis as that? That, Ryan thought, calls for another drink. The phone rang. Arnie got it. Jack, it's Scott Adler. Ryan reached for it. Yeah, Scott, what is it? Just got a call from the DCM in Beijing. Seems that Foreign Minister Shen was just over to the embassy. They have apologized for launching the missile. They say it was a horrible accident, and they're glad the thing didn't go off. That's fucking nice of them. Well, whoever gave the order to launch is under arrest. They request our assistance in bringing an end to hostilities. Shen said they're willing to declare a unilateral ceasefire and withdraw all their forces and to consider reparations to Russia. They're surrendering, Jack. Really? Why? There appears to have been some sort of riot in Beijing. It seems that their government has fallen. Minister Fang Gan seems to be the interim leader. With your permission and with the concurrence of the Russians, I think we ought to agree to this. Just like that? We end it all just like that? It doesn't have to be Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel, Jack. It just has to work. Will it work? Yes, Jack, it ought to. Okay, get hold of the Russians, Ryan said, setting his glass down. Maybe this was the end of the last war, Jack thought. If so, no, it didn't have to be pretty. It was a good dawn for General Bondarenko and was about to get better. Colonel Tolkunov came running into his command center holding a sheet of paper. We just copied this off the Chinese radio, military and civilian. They are ordering their forces to cease fire and to withdraw from our territory. Oh? What makes them think we will let them go? It's a beginning, Comrade General. If this is accompanied by a diplomatic approach to Moscow, then the war will soon be over. You have won. Have I? Gennady Yosefovich stretched. It felt good this morning, looking at his maps, knowing that he held the upper hand. If this was the end of the war and he was the winner, then that was sufficient to the moment. By sunset, the shooting and the killing had stopped. Church bells rang all over Russia. Golovko took note of the bells and the people in the streets swigging their vodka and celebrating their country's victory. Russia felt like a great power again. Better yet, in another few years they'd start reaping the harvest of their resources. And maybe, just maybe, Russia would turn the corner finally and begin a new century well. It was nightfall before the word got out from Beijing to the rest of China. The end of the war so recently started came as a shock to those who'd never really understood the reasons or the facts in the first place. Then came word that the government had changed, and that was also a puzzling development. The interim premier was Fang Gan, a name known from pictures rather than words or deeds, but he looked old and wise. People shrugged and discussed the puzzling new developments in quiet and measured words. For one particular person in Beijing, the changes meant that her job would change somewhat in importance, if not in actual duties. Ming went out to dinner with her foreign lover, gushing over drinks and noodles with the extraordinary events of the day, then walked off to his apartment for a dessert of Japanese sausage.
Among the other titles by Tom Clancy available on audio from Random House are Rainbow Six, Executive Orders, Debt of Honor, Patriot Games, Without Remorse, and the Op Center series, as well as the NetForce series, both created by Tom Clancy and Steve Pachenik. This has been a Random House audiobooks presentation. Production copyright 2000, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.